to go to the Atlanta Falcons.
I mean, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
I mean,
we don't need to start there.
We,
okay.
We start go over there. Is, you know.
So, we obviously talked a lot about Joe Alt.
We did.
And the Chargers, they did it. In fairness to Jim Harbaugh, you know, we thought it was trickery. Now, he was doing a lot of pumping up of, you know, J.J. McCarthy, his guy. But they did. I don't understand, as we've talked about on the show, I don't understand the pick.
It was Matt Ryan. I mean, that's really what you wanted.
What are we doing?
Hold on. What are we doing? What's happening?
You want to see. It's not easy.
Put on your headphones.
Obviously done in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. Norm Edwin
is the Miz still playing? I'm sorry. Was
it? No. It was some type of something else was playing, but it's okay.
You touched something you weren't supposed to touch.
It's okay. We're okay now. Okay. I'm sorry. Where were we?
What? Can we start the show
just
over?
Replaying.
Like, what is happening?
We have a guest coming, or else I
got to. Why do we
do it? I'm sorry. It's Friday.
Didn't go this way in rehearsal.
Man, rehearsal was clean and smooth, and
all of a sudden
we go live and.
Man.
Jeez.
It's just orange just blinded me.
The wheels come off.
Okay.
So, they take...
Yeah, CBS is still... I got to find out what's going on with this. Y'all go ahead.
Okay. You do your thing, and we'll do our thing.
Okay. All right.
I'm nervous.
I'm not. No, we're going to be fine.
By the way, we are going to Lexington, Kentucky in about 12 minutes. And we are going to have on their offensive line coach. His name is Coach Eric Wolford. And you're saying, okay, what?
Why are we talking?
Well, because he's new on the staff.
Ah.
And it's actually, he's been there before, but he has come back because the last two seasons he has spent on the Alabama staff as the offensive line coach. Mm. So see what we did there?
Yeah.
He's coached J.C. Latham the last two seasons. So we're going to find out from Eric Wolford, the coach, the offensive line coach now at Kentucky, what he thinks of one J.C. Latham, who was the seventh pick overall by the Tennessee Titans last night.
J.C. Latham was from all indications, was outstanding and the second best offensive tackle, according to many ratings, and some had him first.
Yes.
There in the draft. The reason why, and I'm not going to blame anybody in particular, but the reason why I did not give J.C. Latham a whole lot of thought is because I was led to believe that he was strictly a right tackle and that he would not be a left tackle in the NFL. That is what I was.
Damon, can you get Jim Wyatt with J.C. Latham queued up and ready to go so we can hit on that? But go ahead.
Got it.
Go ahead, Justin. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
We're not supposed to do that live on the air.
But
we're a mess today.
If you want what you want, you got to ask for it. So
just wait till the next segment.
You know, woo! Be a little bit better then. I was led to believe that Latham was simply a right tackle. It was not going to be a left tackle in the NFL. That's what I was led to believe. And so it wasn't one person, it was several people who said this, several knowledgeable people who said this, and lo and behold, they draft a guy who played 41 games at right tackle and have announced that they're going to move him to left tackle. Now, it's not totally foreign. He played high school left tackle. He was a five-star recruit to Alabama to play left tackle. So, but he just didn't because of the players in front of him and all that. He explains all that coming up here in a second. So, for me, that was the surprising thing is I really didn't think they would spend the seventh round pick on a right tackle. And I was right about that. They're not spending the seventh round pick on a right tackle. They're spending the seventh round pick on a left tackle who just happened to play right tackle in college, who most people now think and are saying that will transition very easily back over to left tackle. By the way, he played at IMG down there in Florida. So, I mean, again, the football pedigree, look, IMG, Alabama, these are creme de la creme football institutes, okay? I mean, you can't do any better as far as five-star, all the stuff you could want, all the measurables that you could want. 11-inch hands, 6'5", 340 pounds, played in college football at 360, played in the SEC. That means he played against the roughest, toughest, you-know-whats on the planet. At defensive line, LSU, Arkansas, Tennessee, you know, George, saw all those guys. So, you know, do I like the pick? That's the next question. Do I like the pick? Yes, I'm totally good with the pick. I know there's some people who wanted Roma Dunze. No, not with the issues that this team has. I understand the temptation. I do. I get the temptation to go wide receiver. With the issues that this team has, you got to fill it. You've got to get the offensive tackle. They've gotten it. Now they want to go back, you know, and do whatever they want to do with wide receivers. They can do that. But they've already addressed it in the offseason. They had to have it, and now they do.
Jim White, who's been covering the Tennessee Titans since they've been here, now does it for TennesseeTitans.com, was up in Detroit. And he got a chance to catch up with J.C. Latham after the Titans selected him. Here is that conversation.
It's amazing, man. I'm ready to get to work, man. You know, it just means a lot for a team and organization to trust me with the pick. And I want to just build on that trust and build on that foundation and hit the ground rolling.
You know, I talked to you yesterday. You said, I think you said you had an amazing visit to Tennessee when you went. What made it amazing?
I mean, you know, just I really sat down with one-on-one with the O-line coach. We were in there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, just going over different techniques, going over pass pro, run blocking things, and then getting a background information on who we both were, and then talking about, you know, the potential I have and how I can capitalize off of everything that my abilities that I've been given. So, yeah, it was a great meeting. I really got to really build that one-on-one foundation with my positional coach.
You know, you played a lot of right tackle at Alabama. Rand Carthon said in Nashville he plans to start you off at left. Is that something you think you can do no problem?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, left is just, you know, I was trained at left all my life. I get to Bama and Evan Neal, top 10 pick.
Yeah.
He's at left, so, you know, I literally think instinctively, let's go to right. You know, I never trained at right, so all my training and hard work and everything that I became at Alabama was done at Alabama. Right. So, you know, going back to left, I've been training all this offseason, so I'm ready to go.
Who'd you get the call from when you found out you were going to be the pick at number 7? Who'd you talk to?
Yeah, the GM, the head coach, and everybody there. Yeah, it was about four people. It was really exciting.
What'd they tell you?
I mean, they told me they loved me when they visited me, and they're ready to go. They're ready to get to work.
Did you know that Goodell recently had back surgery? Anybody tell you that?
Yeah. So he told me when I pick him up, don't pick him up by the low back because that's where he had the surgery on. So I had to make sure I went up top. You feel me?
So you think he was feeling okay after that bear hug?
Hopefully, man. Yeah. If he's not, that's my bad. I apologize.
What was going through your mind when you hear your name and you walk on that stage?
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, I didn't shed a tear. I just felt, you know, a sigh of relief. You know, the whole process is officially over. I'm officially a professional player now. I almost shed a tear. My mom said my great-grandma would be really proud of me. So, you know, that means a lot to me because that's one of the people I worked hardest for.
There you go. So he's not afraid to move over to the left side because he's played the left side. I know, you know, for some people, they would be like, what? There was a log jam with talent at a position at Alabama? I know, that's hard to believe. It is weird. But believe it or not, they had a left tackle already established at Alabama when he was there. You know, a guy that went high in the first round later on.
High, by the way, do you know where he went?
Evan Neal?
Seventh overall.
How about that?
Seventh overall in the 2022 draft.
How about that?
That's and also went to IMG, by the way.
Mm. So, there, you know, sometimes you have to move around. If you're going to get on the field, sometimes you have to play somewhere else. I don't know. I don't want to completely dismiss it because I do understand people that are concerned because here is the issue. This is 2 years in a row they have spent the 11th pick in the draft and the 7th pick in the draft on offensive linemen, and they are going to play for the Titans where they did not play in college.
Yeah.
So I do get that. I understand that. I really do. And I'm not going to dismiss people who are concerned about it because I've seen it out there, and I'm not going to dismiss it because when you draft people that high, it is a little concerning, like, wow, where they played their entire college career, they're not going to play against the greatest in the world in the NFL. But I think also people realize that Skoronski is better suited and more on the inside at a guard position than he was in college. And in this case, J.C. Latham has played left tackle. He had to play right to get on the field at Alabama, and he said he's been training all offseason for left tackle. I think it's going to be fine.
I do, too.
But I do understand people being concerned. Look, we're going to have Coach Eric Wolford on here. In fact, we're going to break here in just a minute.
Sure.
And we're going to ask him, you're an offensive line coach. How big of an adjustment is this?
Yeah.
Or is it? Mm-hmm. Especially for a guy like this. The guy that, as you said, we've talked to a lot of people. People loved J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
But we were kind of under the impression that he was a right tackle.
That's what we were told.
Yeah. So.
By several people. Again, I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. Yeah. This was an industry-wide kind of feeling that we got about him.
I also have been sitting here saying, why would the Chargers take Joe Alt? They have Slater. He's a first-round pick and he's 25 years old. They took Joe Alt. I don't get it. But I guess they're going to put Joe Walt on the right tackle.
I also warned you that clubs do silly things all the time in these drafts. You know, well, why would they do that? Because clubs do silly things. Teams do, they overthink things, and then they do silly stuff. Happens every year. Now, is this silly? I don't know. But, you know, it seems silly right now, but who knows?
We'll head to Lexington, Kentucky next. We'll talk to Kentucky's offensive line coach, Eric Wolford. He was the offensive line coach at Alabama the last two seasons. And we'll ask him about the Titans' first-round selection last night in Detroit. We'll do that next as you listen to the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my entire family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No. It's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LIFT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code LIFT. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LIFT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LIFT.
A friend of mine just bought a new house for the first time. A new house. I mean, my wife and I love to own a house. So I asked him how he did it. And he smiled and he said he went to the knowledge tree. He had this happy look on his face. So I told him to tell me more. And he said, John, the lack of knowledge will keep you poor. Then he handed me a brochure. It was from Knowledge Tree Mortgage. Now I understood. And after one phone call, I understood even more. Knowledge Tree Mortgage specializes in first-time homebuyers. Folks like me who get the runaround from banks. And he got us pre-qualified. Knowledge Tree Mortgage got us our mortgage. And tomorrow, my wife and I are going to become first-time homebuyers. Here's the number, 859-9599. 859-9599. Money doesn't grow on trees. Knowledge does. Knowledge Tree Mortgage, 859-9599. 859-9599.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts. Until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon franchisor SPD LLC.
Kentucky head basketball coach Mark Pope joining us. What's your vision for getting the Wildcats back to consistently competing for natties?
We're being incredibly active in the transfer portal. We're going to have mostly guys willing to come here and understand what it means to wear the Kentucky uniform. This is bigger than themselves. That's going to be a pathway for guys to hang banners, to have incredible careers in the NBA, and a pathway for guys to build a legacy as the greatest basketball program in the country.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
Welcoming calls from all around Middle Tennessee. 615-844-5600. The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Crazy that that promo ran coming out of the break. Jim Rome.
Yeah.
Talking with Kentucky new Kentucky basketball coach Mark Pope. Back here on the McFarland Show, Darren and Justin with you. We are live in the Strikers Bear Family Fun Center studio here on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day. Speaking of Kentucky, let's head up to Lexington. Let's bring in Kentucky's offensive line coach. He is Eric Wolford. He now joins us. He spent the last two seasons on Alabama's staff in the same capacity as the O-line coach. Coach, how we doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Well, depends on your answers on J.C. Latham on if we're doing how we're going to be doing.
You're not going to be disappointed, I can tell you that.
Okay, well, let's just start there. You have a much better idea of what the Titans have signed up for, hopefully for a very, very long time, and what they told us last night at left tackle. What can you tell us about J.C. Latham?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, in this day and age dealing with young men, you got to find guys that truly love football. And even when I coached at the 49ers for 2 years, and I felt like there were guys in our O-line room that played football because they liked what football brought to them, the attention and the money. But when it came down to the true grind of working and doing the extra things outside of the building that give you a chance to be great, those guys lacked those things. And the reason why I say that is J.C. Latham loves football. This guy, an example would be is we'd be at a practice, very common during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're preparing for an opponent. I'm talking about within an hour after that practice, I've just showered 8 and I'm getting ready to go to a meeting, and he is already sending me clips from practice about a blitz pickup situation, asking about this pass set, you know, what do you think about this here? Is my footwork right? Because he's a student of the game and he loves football. I guarantee you there's no one else in the country at offensive line that's that fanatical about the position.
Wow. I love hearing that.
I've had 53 offensive linemen sign NFL contracts. 53 since I've been in coaching. So that's a pretty good track record. No one loves ball and is a student of the game like this guy.
Coach, we talk about this all the time on the show, and we try to reiterate, it sounds better coming from you rather than us, because we try to tell our listeners, look, just because people are doing something doesn't mean they love it. We all think these guys playing at the highest level love it, but Justin and I have been doing this for a long time and been around a lot of professional athletes, good and bad, and they don't all love it. Even if they're really, really talented and they're really good, they don't love it. I think you said it best. They're more about it's a lifestyle, it's a paycheck, it's something, but it's not their burning desire, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, they've been blessed.
Yeah.
Some of these guys, right. I mean, I'm not talking about JC now, but some of these players have been blessed, and they have a skill set that's so far superior to other players that they don't have to work as hard. And they can get by for a long time. They never reach their potential, but they can make a pretty good living just skating by and doing just enough to make it through the last cut. Then they're on the team, and then they brother-in-law in practice with a couple other guys, so that way it looks good. And next thing you know, that's what you're playing with. But until you have a bunch of guys that love football on your team, you're going to have a problem. And you can tell who that is because you can check their iPads. You can check when they log in, how much film they're watching, and those type of things. And it's not hard to find out. And you'll figure it out over time when you're a coach and you're around them. But I think it eventually shows up on the field.
To be honest, we kind of had our conversations and our eyes kind of steered toward Joe Alt. We kind of felt like that was going to be the pick. by the Titans. We knew that they desperately needed to address the left tackle situation. They have a young quarterback, as you know, in Will Levis going into his second year, and they needed protection on the left side. But, you know, didn't see the Chargers sneaking in there and getting Joe Alt. It pivoted. And we don't know if even Joe Alt was their number one choice. It may have been J.C. Latham. I think the reason, Coach, that we were steering away from J.C. Latham, even though all the people that we had on were saying great things about him, just like you.
Great things.
But we thought he was the right tackle because that's what he played at Alabama. Well, they tell everybody last night, whether it was General Manager Rand Carthon, Head Coach Brian Callahan, that he, you know, he is going to be starting off at left tackle. Obviously, things can change, but he is going to be the left tackle. You tell us and our audience, how big of an adjustment is it, or is it, to go from the right side to the left side?
He's played left tackle in high school. What some people don't realize is this guy was a defensive lineman in high school, and in August, they moved him over to O-line. So he's gifted. He's a genetic freak. But physically, this guy can go and play left tackle. And one thing I've always been impressed with, you know, obviously Coach Callahan coming over from the Bengals, is these guys that know what they're doing on offense, especially, you know, his dad being the O-line coach, these guys know how to help players in certain games when you have matchups that you need to maybe help a player, when you have a mismatch. I remember when I was at the Niners and we were playing Aaron Donald, we had to know where that guy was all the time. Michael Bennett, you had to know where he was all the time. So these guys, I mean, you're not looking at some rookie coaching staff there at the Titans. You know, they've got a group of guys there that know how to help players when they may or may not have a concern going into a game. But J.C., I've seen him take reps at left tackle in practice because we were considering playing him at left tackle at Alabama until Coach Saban stepped in and said that, no, we're going to keep him at right. I like him at right, and we're going to go with this. You know, we recruited the top offensive lineman in the country, Caden Proctor. So he came in and played left tackle, and Coach Saban stuck with his guns there. But, you know, I can tell you this. There is not an offensive lineman in the draft that is physically more capable of dominating the field like J.C. Latham. When you put him and Joe Alt's a good player, but if you put them two next to each other physically, you're taking J.C. Latham all day long.
We are speaking with Kentucky offensive line coach Eric Wolford. He spent the last two seasons as the offensive line coach at Alabama, of course, coaching J.C. Latham, who the Titans selected last night, seventh overall. I do want to pick your brain real quick. We do have a brand new coach in Brian Callahan. He brought his father over from Cleveland. He was with the Browns last year, and Bill Callahan, you talked about your time in the NFL. You talk about your time as an offensive line coach. You obviously know people at other positions. I don't know if you know much about Bill or not, but we've been led to believe by everybody we've talked to, Bill Callahan is a master when it comes to being an offensive line coach.
Guru.
Yeah, a guru. Have you had any interactions with him?
So we've been told, Coach.
Can you help us out with that?
I can tell you this. Bill Callahan is one of the finest offensive line coaches around. And, you know, I think J.C., what I'm excited for J.C. is, and he'll be the first to tell you this, is he'll tell you that he still has more to learn about the position. He hasn't played it very long. You got to remember, his first year at Alabama, I wasn't there, but he was with Doug Marrone. He only played like 152 snaps, and those were at guard. So then he went to tackle when I came in. For 2 years, he played tackle for me, but I still think there's a lot to learn. And even when you take another level, I mean, I know the SEC is probably the closest thing to pro football, but I still think there's another level yet that he can learn from and grow from, and being with Coach Callahan will give him an excellent opportunity to be successful and play at a high level.
Coach, can you answer for me why was he playing at 360 pounds? Why was he so heavy in college as a playing weight?
Because he can.
Okay. Well, making
sure, I mean.
I'm sorry, Coach. All right.
look at his draft. I mean, when you look at the draft, when he had that white vest on, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, this guy's not afraid to take his shirt off, and he shouldn't be, because he's not fat. I mean, when we did a DEXA scan on him, he had 278 pounds of lean muscle mass. and under 23% body fat. That's unheard of.
Jeez.
Since they've been doing DEXA scan, since it's been in existence, there's never been a football player with over 278 pounds of lean muscle mass. And he can move at 360. He lost weight because he was preparing to run the 40. And he was, you know, but I mean, like, he could play at 360, he could play at 340. Now, most NFL offensive linemen, when they leave college and they go to pro football, they start slimming down and losing weight and get down. But he's never going to be 325 pounds, I can tell you that. He might be 345, right? But it's not possible for him to be 325. He'll be 325 when he's retired.
Coach, is there any truth to which side of the line sees the worst or sees the best rusher than the worst rusher? Sees the best rusher. There's this, well, the left side doesn't see as bad of a pass rush as the right side because that's where these guys line up versus these guys line up. Can you just help explain that particular part of this?
The last time I watched the Niners, Bosa lines up over the right tackle and just wears them out all the time. So, you know, I just think that's a long time perception.
Yes, sir.
Right? I think it's the blind side because if you have a right-handed quarterback, it's the blind side. But what happens if you have a left-handed quarterback? So now the right tackle is important, supposedly. At the end of the day, both tackles are important because in the NFL, these coaches on defense, they obviously know what they're doing. They're going to get you in 5 one-on-ones. So that means 5 offensive linemen are going to be in one-on-one situations. It's going to be 3rd and long, and Will Levis has got to get the ball out. And the reason you guys are lucky is Will, because I had Will when I was at Kentucky here in 21. Will can pull it down and run for a first down. And he'll break tackles. So, like, you guys have that benefit. Some of these guys in the NFL, they got a sitting duck back there. So if he don't get rid of the ball, he's getting hit.
Coach, last year, the Titans drafted Peter Skoronski in the first round. He played left tackle at Northwestern, of course. The Titans have converted him into a guard. Now, we were told by, you know, draft folks and analytics experts and all that his arms were too short at 33 inches or whatever it is. We're told now that J.C. Latham's arms are around 35 and a half inches long. Why is arm length so important at that particular position?
Well, you got to have that arm length because the defensive linemen, a lot of their moves, they start with a inside bull rush, long arm post. And if you don't have length in your arms, you can't keep these guys out of your chest. And if you can't keep them out of your chest and play with separation, then you can't handle redirection. And when they redirect, you're going to get beat. So having arm length is critical. I think having heavy hands, you know, JC is a heavy-handed guy. I mean, I think there's a lot of college football players out there that, you know, they're so-called rated high, but they're not very heavy-handed guys. You know, when you watch a guy in pass protection, there should be no helmet contact. And you can watch the guys that were picked last year. There's some of those guys out there in pass protection that they struggle to play with length and separate, and they still got some things to work on in their first-round picks. But finding heavy-handed guys is a critical factor, and JC's a heavy-handed guy, aside from having foot quickness and athletic ability and ability to anchor.
That was something else that was mentioned was his hand size, size 11 hands, or, you know, we were told.
That's meat hooks.
Yeah, meat hooks, essentially.
Yeah.
People have said once he hits you, once he puts his hand on you, it's basically over at that particular moment. He stops you dead in the tracks there.
Well, I can tell you this. Him and I used to get into it in pregame in a good way. And he would put his hands on me, and it wasn't a real good feeling. I'm like, listen, like you're gonna hurt me. I might not make it to the game. Like him and the other guy, Tyler Booker, the guard. They're both from IMG. They got a kick out of always trying to slug me and put their hands on me in pregame, like I'm playing. So, I can tell you this: he's heavy-handed.
Mm. Real quick, while we've got you, about Will Levis, I did have one question about Will, and that is, there's no question, Coach, that he's extremely tough. There's no question that he's extremely willing to put his body on the line to do whatever needs to be done to get the first down, make a play, do whatever. But Coach, just as somebody who's sitting back here watching, again, I'm not a coach, I'm a broadcaster, and the health, Coach, has got to be a concern. Taking these shots over and over again, Coach, does he need to be a little bit more picky about when he decides to go do what he does? And I know, listen, I hear you chuckling. I understand
it's easier said than done to tell somebody like Will Levis what, you know, when you need to, you know, pick and choose your battles here, Coach. But just the long-term health of him getting hit over and over again, you know, Coach, better than anyone here, that it takes a toll.
Well, I can tell you this. We had those same conversations at Kentucky when I was here. And you can tell him whatever you want. The guy's a winner, and he's going to find a way to get it done, find a way to get that yard. If it's a first down or sliding, he's getting a first down. And you guys know this. He's probably built better than some of the linebackers you have there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guy's put together now, but that's because he prepares himself in the offseason so he can take the pounding of the season. I mean, Will Levis is the winner, and I think you're going to see a lot of growth from him because as he continues his career in the league, learning systems, you guys continue to elevate your talent on offense around him that can help him. You're going to see a guy that players are attracted to because of the way he plays. But at the end of the day, you know, the better support system you have around him, the better chance he's going to have to flourish.
As we wrap this up, did you get a chance at all last night to see ABC's coverage of the draft? There's a reason why I'm saying ABC.
We all know Coach Saban.
Yeah. What did you think?
Hey, I sat next to Coach Saban for 2 years. I'm talking about as close as you two are sitting right now. Got me? Like, I did it every day, 7:30 a.m. Bring it on. So.
How do you think he did last night?
I thought he did a really good job, you know, and I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised at how hard he will work at preparing for games and commentating for these games, and he's going to bring tremendous insight to the game, and I think he's going to take over because. Don't kid yourself. He's 72 years old, but he'll outwork all us three right now.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
I don't doubt that at all.
The guy can work, man. He can work. He has relentless work ethic. He's smart, and he's very calculated.
No doubt. Well, you asked us at the beginning how we're doing after this interview. I think our answer is a whole lot better because I feel much better about what you said than when we first started.
You're going to love the guy. You're going to love the personality. And he's going to be good for the community. He's good. He's great away from the building. I mean, here's a guy just turned 21 years old, I think in February it was. And he's going to be great. He's going to dive in on that playbook and take care of his football stuff first. But people in the community are going to gravitate to him. He's got a great personality, a great smile, good person. And you don't have to worry about off-the-field behavior. You know, that's always a concern, too, with players is how they handle themselves outside the building and behavior. And this guy's all business. He's not into the party scene. He's into the freaking getting better at football scene.
Wow, that's outstanding. Hey, we really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for doing this, and we'd love to talk to you again down the road. Thanks for doing this, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
You got it. Good luck to you guys, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, that is Eric Wolford. He is the Kentucky offensive line coach. Great insights right there on J.C. Latham. And Will Levis.
And Will Levis, yeah.
Really, really good stuff right there. We're wide open the rest of the hour if you want to get involved in the show. 615-844-5600. That should get you jacked up after hearing that interview. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. All right, we'll take your phone calls, your texts, as you listen to the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. The package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. It's StarLeasing.com to learn more.
Dog parents are loving Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend premium dog food.
The way she acts and the way she moves, it's just so much better. And she actually, she's like a puppy again. It's unbelievable.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a freeze-dried raw food made with zero artificial preservatives. So it's naturally shelf-stable with no mess, freezer, or fridge required. Plus, it's full of premium turkey, beef, salmon, and meat your dog will love.
We started with Nature's Blend. She's happy. She sleeps well. She's energetic. I am just delighted with this product.
When given the choice, Nature's Blend and Amazon's number one bestseller in dry dog food, 29 out of 30 dogs chose Nature's Blend first.
I'm so confident your dog will love it. Your order is back with a 90-day guarantee.
Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of delicious beef liver treats. Go to drmartypets.com/healthy or text healthy to 511-511. Text healthy to 511-511.
All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request.
Paid for by Dr. Marty's Pets.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
It's a Bill King Show.
We are college football centric. That is the sun that warms our planet that we live on. Our planet actually isn't flat or round. It's an oblong spheroid. And we are here to proselytize about it, edify it every day on this here radio show.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan forecast. This afternoon, we'll have mixed clouds and sun. I can't rule out a shower. The high temperature, 84. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 68. Partly sunny and breezy Saturday, high 84. Winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Utilizing the resources of the Motherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
The McFarland Show, streaming live on the WNSR app and on WNSR.com.
That's true, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world. You can also watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. Back here on the McFarland Show on this gorgeous Friday afternoon. It was like 84 degrees when I walked in.
Yeah. Man,
gotta love it. Darren and Justin here with you, 615-844-5600. Really, really good stuff from Eric Wolford, who is Kentucky's new Kentucky's offensive line coach. As he said, that's his second stint. He was there in 2021, and then he spent the last 2 years at Alabama, and now, of course, you know, Nick Saban retires, that whole staff turned over, and he is back in Lexington at Kentucky. Great insights on J.C. Latham and Will Levis. All right, you want to talk, and we want to talk with you. Let's get to the phones. Let's start things off with Eric. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to say go Predators, and I'm just looking forward to Monday when George Plaster's back on the airwaves.
Okay, thank you for bringing that up, because there is something I need to pass along, and I've been meaning to say this yesterday, and I didn't say it, and I want to say it today. They're still trying to work some stuff out, like, you know, technology.
Technically,
thank you. And so it's going to be delayed, so it is not going to be on Monday, okay. Eric. It's going to be, I think, the third week of May.
But we appreciate your enthusiasm, and you know, hang with us, man.
Like, this is not a, because it's just they're still working through stuff technically.
Oh, okay.
And so it'll be a little bit longer, okay?
Well, now I'm glad to know, so.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that
up. Absolutely.
Guys, as far as the draft goes, here's the thing. And I've heard, and I guess you've heard too, where people have been on social media, whether it's Twitter, X, or Facebook, a lot of people are not happy with the pick. And let me say this. Guys, would I've loved to have gotten Joe Alt? Yeah. But there are a lot of people saying that, well, we should either take Brock Bowers or wide receiver. We should trade it down and out the first pick. But you got to remember, guys, this is a whole new regime. It's not the one previously. And who knows? I mean, guys, you have to, at some point, draft an offensive lineman. It's just, I think no matter what the pick is, it would probably get scrutinized, whatever, whether it worked out or not. I think it would probably get criticized or not. It's just like, you're not going to make everybody happy. And I get that, but it's just, I personally have no problems with the pick. It's just, I just don't understand where people are getting upset about it.
But, well, you know, what are they upset about?
What it is.
What do you see that they're upset about?
Well, from what I'm hearing, guys, they felt like that we, that's what I'm hearing, is a lot of people felt like that we should have either drafted Brock Bowers. There were some saying that we should draft a receiver. There were a few other people I'm hearing that said we should have traded out of the pick, or either traded down or traded out of the first round or something like that. There were some don't like the fact drafting that position, switching them to another position and all that type of stuff. And then bringing up the fact of past first round draft pick linemen not working, like Isaiah Wilson amongst others and stuff like that. So,
okay. I mean, look, there are going to be doubters, as you said, no matter what, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're never going to have everybody jump up together like a Toyota commercial and say, oh, what a feeling.
Yeah.
Like we're all in lockstep. Yeah. That's just not how it works.
You got to be of a certain
in society
age to remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figure like this demo was,
yeah,
was
this
worth
thing, they
floating
would
that out
they
there.
Would know. Yes. Yes. I remember that. Absolutely.
I mean, because I mean, what point does it do to get upset or get mad because the pick's already been made? You got to support it. I'll be honest. Last year, I wasn't angry about it, but I know a lot of people were mad when we picked Will Levis. I said, well, willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I wasn't sold on it. And definitely, when Wade performed against Atlanta, I mean, hey, you know, but the main thing he does need help is the offensive line as well as weapons around him. And if you get that, you know, you can be a pretty good quarterback.
I liked what Coach Eric Wolford just said about him. I was extremely excited about the pick and Will Levis.
Yeah.
I think the future is bright. And but it's all going to play out, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because the one thing is, and I guess you know the stat, I think last year we were the worst as far as percentage about quarterback being sacked. I think we were worse than the NFL. And I think as far as giving up sacks, I think we were, like, next to last. I think the only team that may have been worse was either Carolina or the Patriots. So
it was like the last anything, 3 years. The last 3 years they've been, like, 29, 28, and 30.
You don't need numbers to prove it.
Yeah.
You just need eyeballs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah,
I don't need the Pro Football Focus breakdown to understand that it was bad. We all know it was bad, which is why they're doing this.
You're definitely right on that, Justin.
Yeah, we didn't really need to see a study done.
Yeah.
We just had to watch.
Football fan, they rank last.
Guys, I'll get off, and I'll probably call next week about what they do over the weekend with some of the other rounds, because I know rounds 2 and 3 are tonight, and
I guess
4 through 7 are tomorrow. So we'll see what happens,
all right.
think about it.
Thank you,
y'all
Eric.
Take care and have a great week.
Right, you
appreciate
too.
It, Eric.
So pick 38 is – that's the Titans are going to get a high second round pick.
Pick 38 is tough.
I've seen a lot of stuff out there.
I don't know.
We had Justin Mello on yesterday.
Yeah.
We talked to him about, and we had Chris Sanders on.
We did.
And both of them liked Ladd McConkey, and he is still out there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
What's the difference between Ladd McConkey and Kyle Phillips?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't know. There is a difference.
Really?
To me, the need at edge is far. Here's the difference between Kyle Phillips and Ladd McConkey or McCartney or whatever.
Ladd McConkey.
McConkey. I'm sorry.
No,
Ladd McConkey. Excuse me. The difference is Kyle Phillips is currently on the roster.
Yes.
They need an edge rusher. D'Amico Autry left and went to Houston.
Yes.
They don't have his replacement on the roster at all. The need, to me, is far greater at edge than it is at wide receiver. I understand there's a plethora of wide receivers out there. I understand they could use another weapon, but they haven't drafted a defensive player now, Darren, since the sixth round of the 2022 draft.
Well, it's not just the Titans, Justin.
I
don't know if you noticed last night. there weren't very many defensive players drafted.
I saw.
What was it, like 22 offensive players?
First time in the history of the draft that the entire top 10 had no defensive players.
Yeah.
I get it. But you got to draft one at some point, right? I mean, you can't just go all offense and just, you know, hope. I mean, I would go edge. I know there's a lot of wide receivers out there, and it seems to be a deep pool, but I would vote edge. Best edge rusher available, depending on, you know, what you got.
I like that kid from Florida State. I will say that.
The wide receiver?
No, not Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Drawing blanks. Guy that lit up Louisville. Remember when they, the game, the ACC championship game?
Yeah.
Where he just went nuts? I've also seen people, what about the kid from Iowa, the safety cornerback? Cooper DeJean, what do you think of that? Yeah, 38, too high?
Iowa?
Too high.
Yeah.
Well, they could play defense.
Can they?
They could play defense. You just don't want to draft anybody on offense.
Tennessee, I think, just scored another touchdown from their defense.
Well, I'm just saying. Their defense was definitely their bright spot.
Yeah, well, it's not very bright.
Tony.
35 nothing.
We'll get to you on the other side to wrap up hour number one of the McFarland Show on WNSR.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. Flight 777 to Funtown with continued service to Wintersville is ready to board. Please make sure you have your new instant game tickets from the Tennessee Lottery in hand, and thank you for choosing game-changing fun.
With chances to win up to $500,000, you'll be flying first class to cash prizes with our new instant games. Hurry to your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer to get on board today. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Please play responsibly.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
They say health is wealth, and I could not agree more. That's why if you or somebody in your life is living with everyday aches and pains, I want to tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps fight pain naturally. Naturally. Now that's a big deal. Developed by its doctors, Relief Factor's unique formula of ingredients all work together to help support your body's response to inflammation. Instead of masking pain for a couple of hours, Relief Factor actually helps reduce or even eliminate your pain for good. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, if you're looking to feel better, live better, give Relief Factor a try. In 3 weeks, you will know if it's working because you'll feel it. I was sent Relief Factor for me to try. I've been taking it every single day, and I do feel the difference. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Save on your first order. Don't let pain tell you how to live. Fight back naturally with Relief Factor. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, co-workers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a seventh straight division title is officially on.
Stretching the pitch. Swung on, lifted left field. That might get out of here. That's in the bullpen. Home run, Sean Murphy.
Tonight, it's a big interleague matchup at Truist Park in Atlanta as Austin Riley and the Braves take on the Cleveland Guardians.
Pregame coverage begins at 6.05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Tough
Titans fans, Preds fans, the McFarland Show has you covered. Give us a call, 615-844-5600. The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
About to wrap up hour number one. We'll head to Vancouver at 3:20. We'll talk about those pesky knuckleheads. Game three tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Back to the phones, Tony in Nolansville. Tony, what's up?
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
First of all, let me be real careful in saying this. Punk, Farball, and the Chargers.
Oh, wow. Wow. Jeez. I'm glad you slowed it down. Thanks for slowing down.
They had let go. They had let their two top receivers go. Three mock draft picks, I saw, that they were going to take a receiver. And they come in there and decide to take the alignment of one that we all knew that was coming here. And so now that's created the controversy of who we did pick.
Great. Let me just say this, Tony. I'm going to put it on the record right now, and it may be premature to say this. I'm glad. I actually have talked myself into thinking J.C. Latham is the better pick than Joe Alt.
And Darren, I have too throughout the day, and I've seen a lot of stuff. I still can't forget that last play of Alabama against Michigan, how he got blown up on the offensive line down there trying to win the game in overtime either. Let's not ever forget that play. But where he got just bull rushed and blowed up in the backfield on the bad snap. But maybe next year we can finally draft a quarterback or running back that might be help us in the defensive secondary because they played it in high school.
Wow. So are you taking a shot?
I really think we got to let it play out. I know that, and I'm going to do that. But we've just got – I still think, even listening to his coach, that I think there's some edge rushers, polished, experienced NFL edge rushers, kind of licking their chops that we've got. I've got a rookie on the left side over here who played right side – 4 years in college, and I'm going to get to go against it. I think, and y'all know it, there's edge rushers out there licking their chops right now. Wow. But we got to let it play out. I get that. And then, like y'all said, there's been a lot of people that's been for it or against it. But I think in due time, the guy can get his feet under him and that type of thing. So that's my take on it. That's my take. But, and also, Darren, do this for me. I threw this to John and the general this morning. I recited your knowledge yesterday that you had of the graphic about what NFL position player signs a second contract with the same team.
Yes.
And it was the center, correct?
Correct.
You there?
Yes, correct.
Well, make sure... Jonathan, and I said Jonathan, make sure Burton and Patton get that because I quizzed them on it this morning and they thought it was incorrect.
Oh, well, so, okay.
You might want to pass that on to them and let them know that it is there.
Okay.
So, all right, guys, have a great weekend. Stay
Thank
safe.
You, Tony. You
Lots
too.
Stuff going on everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Without question.
Appreciate it. This is,
see you, man.
Yep, this is good. You've got game three tonight. Bridgestone Arena, Predators and Knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Day two of the draft, second and third rounds tonight.
Yeah, it is.
Rounds 4 through 7 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow night, Nashville Cats.
Yeah.
First ever game back for third time, Municipal Auditorium. I'm going to go Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff. And then Sunday, game four, Vancouver Preds.
You forgot one thing.
What'd I forget?
Nashville SC in town.
Nashville SC, yes. That's a busy, busy sports weekend.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for hour number one. Like I said, at 3:20, we'll head out to Vancouver. We'll talk about this matchup tonight at Bridgestone Arena. More of the McFarland Show next here on WNSR.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The longtime executive assistant to Donald Trump, Rona Graff, has wrapped her testimony in the hush money trial. Graff, a witness for the prosecution, told the jury that Trump kept contact information for adult film star Stormy Daniels and former Playboy model Karen McDougal. Earlier, defense attorneys tried to dispute testimony by former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker that he and Trump had a catch-and-release kill scheme to keep alleged affairs with the women from being published during the election. ABC News legal contributor Kim Whaley.
Even if you show intent by Donald Trump and he was part of it, even if you link it to the election, it's not a meaningful crime that it's not really a crime or nothing that you should put a former president potentially in jail for.
Today, Maine's governor signed a wave of new gun safety laws 6 months after the deadly mass shooting in Lewiston. They include expanded background checks for private sales and funding for mental health crisis care. And a series of volatile storms still on the move across the country this weekend. This is ABC News.
The Omaha Steaks Spring Sale is the perfect time to get fired up for spring grilling. Head over to omahasteaks.com and save on all your favorites or discover something new. Plus, when you use promo code QUALITY at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. With 50% site-wide, you're going to want to hurry before the sale ends. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use promo code QUALITY to get an extra $30 off at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Listen, you can't handle the truth.
It's about to go off.
Live from the WNSR Strikers Fair Studios.
Just a bit outside.
Now, back to the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Throw me the money!
Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Second hour of the McFarland Show here on this Friday afternoon. 615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line. Darren and Justin here with you live in the Strikers Bear Family Fun Center studio. Orange Damon is alongside for the final hour as well. In fact, Nate in Columbia on our text line says, Damon was just tired of you guys trashing him yesterday for wearing black all week. So we went back to his bright orange. Well, maybe so. I don't know. I mean, I don't think we trashed him too hard, but we kind of gave him a little bit of grief.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No, it's just, you know, letting him know.
Nate also went on to say on our text line that he likes the way the callers keep saying, I know we got to let it play out, and then they keep dumping on the pick.
Well, that's also par for the course.
Yeah.
That's the way this goes.
Look, I understand. Believe me, okay? I understand how all this works. I didn't expect Eric Wolford to get on here and, you know, say, you know, yeah, Jace, he's good. You know, he's fine. I mean, I've had better, but, you know, I mean, I get it. Like, we had Liam Cohen. We had an unbelievable conversation.
We did.
This time last year with Liam Cohen.
Yeah.
Who was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky. And it was about Will Levis, right?
Oh, you mean that one?
We had Liam Cohen on.
Yes, yes.
And we also had the Northwestern offensive line coach on.
Yes, we did.
And I get it. The offensive line coach from Northwestern was glowing about Peter Skoronski.
These are their guys.
I get it.
These are their guys.
But you got to also see through that, and other than just saying, like, then what did they say about them? What? I'll tell you what I took, something that jumped out at me, something that we've been talking about pretty heavy here in the last week or two, when listening to Mike Martz and other people weigh in on Joe Alt. Remember, I kept saying, well, you know what all this sounds like to me? Is he's not nasty. He's not a mean dude.
Yeah.
He's not one of those guys that, you know, is just going to punish you.
Yeah.
He's He's gifted. He's huge.
Yeah.
He's athletic. Well, did you hear Eric Wolford when he said, look, this is what I can tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear him compare Joe Alt and J.C. Latham?
Oh, yeah.
Was there any waver in his voice about who? And
no.
I get it. He coached J.C. Latham. He didn't coach Joe Alt. But he went out of his way to say, you know, compare the two and say, I can guarantee you J.C. Latham is going to do this, this, and this better than Joe Alt. And I like hearing that. I do.
They're both prototypical. They're just prototypical in different ways. And you know, and when I say that, I'm Joe Alt and J.C. Latham. There's nothing wrong with Joe Alt.
No.
There's nothing
I'm sure
wrong
if we
with
have
Joe
the Notre Dame offensive line coach on, he would say he's a student of the game.
Yeah.
He loves football. This same stuff. Same stuff that we just heard. I get it.
It's just a different, little bit of a different rapper that you're getting with J.C. Latham. What I do like about J.C. Latham is, look, what you talked about, Darren, the nastiness, the fact that he calls himself the Trench King, and, you know, all these other things. He takes great pride in what he does. What he reminds me of is a throwback, a guy that the Titans organization would have drafted in years past. There's no way in the world you could tell me they wouldn't have drafted a J.C. Latham 10 years ago. Of course they would have. They would have drafted him in a heartbeat. That's also kind of what makes me concerned, is the fact that they would have drafted someone like him, 10 years ago when I thought we were going in a slightly different direction here. Now, did they need to feel this need? Yes, very badly. And could it be just that simple, that we thought he was the best offensive tackle available on a position that we need to fill on this team really, really bad? So therefore, we took him. Whether he's old school, new school, it really don't matter. We need us an offensive tackle, and this guy is really, really good, so we're taking him. It could be just that simple. That's what it sounds like it really is, actually. Of course, we'll learn more a little bit later. But all that being said, I want everybody to try and keep in mind that offensive tackle in the National Football League is an extremely difficult thing to find. There's a reason why they've been struggling so hard to get them. We have talked to experts from Bill King all the way to professional coaches who have told us why it's so difficult to get these rare human beings to play this position. I think they have found an established one. It's just the wrong side. They have professional coaching. Can they fix it? I think they can. Is there anything really to fix? We don't even know that. I think it's going to be okay. And for everybody else who wanted a skill position guy, okay. So you wanted Brock Bowers. Again, I'm having a hard time believing Brock Bowers was the seventh best player in this draft. Maybe he is. We'll never know.
Well, we will know.
Well, I guess we will.
When it all plays out, we'll know.
I'm having a hard time with that. Malik Nabers, I guess he was gone already, but Roma Dunze. Listen, they already got the wide receiver. You already got him. You spent $50 million on Calvin Ridley.
$92 million contract.
Then what are we doing with that? I mean, everybody wants the skill position person. Everybody wants to see the guy who catches touchdowns, who gains yards. They want the fantasy player who's going to gain them something. I get it. But you got to have these guys in order for that other stuff to happen. And it's just a necessary thing. It really is.
Do you have concerns about the shift?
No.
Okay. I really don't either.
No.
I don't either.
No. Now, is it rare? Listen, Bruce Matthews is in the Hall of Fame. Not only because he played a really long time. That's one of the reasons he's in the Hall of Fame. But the other reason that he's in the Hall of Fame is because he played all five positions.
Center, guard, tackle.
No, Darren.
Left side, right side. There you go.
If I say you cut him short, he not only did he play center, guard, and tackle, he played left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, and right tackle at a high level. So can you do it? Is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. Is it hard? It's really hard. But can it be done? It most certainly can be done with coaching and time. Will he have slip-ups? And one thing, to address Tony real quick. And Tony, I love Tony. And I appreciate Tony calling. But he's saying that people are going to be licking their chops, looking at...
They would do that with any rookie.
Listen, Chandler Jones had a career day against Taylor Lewan, and Taylor Lewan was not a rookie when it happened. We watched Javon Kearse make a fool of Fred Miller one day at Nissan Stadium. It wasn't called that then. But, you know, make an absolute fool
Adelphia
of Fred Miller.
Coliseum.
Adelphia Coliseum. And Fred Miller at the time was not a rookie. Okay? It can happen. It can happen to almost anybody. So, are there some guys who are probably going to get the better of J.C. Latham? Yeah, I believe that. But, you know, what's the alternative? There's a lot of guys who weren't rookies last year. Now, you know, the guys they've had the last two previous years weren't rookies, and how do they look? Not good. So I'll take my chances with this guy, and we'll see. He's got the skill set. You know, let's see what happens. But none of these guys are shoe-ins. Roman Dunze wasn't a shoe-in. Brock Bowers is not a shoe-in. No. There's been plenty of guys who we thought was going to light up a scoreboard who didn't do anything once they got to the show.
Yeah. I think the things that stood out to me is things that we've talked about. Coach Wolford, he loves football. He eats it. Like that story after practice.
Yeah.
And he's already reaching out to him. What about this? How's my footwork on this? This is after practice, after film session. Yeah. And I love hearing stuff like that. That's someone that truly does love football, and they are dedicating themselves to their craft.
It's hard to figure out who loves football. It really is. You know, it's hard. Floyd Reese, who you knew far better than I did, I think really had a knack for that. Finding guys who really, you know, had...
He valued that.
Who really loved football.
Yes.
And then we saw what happened when he left, and we saw some other folks making the decision...
That didn't have the same philosophy.
And then you saw, okay. I mean, so no, that's a valued thing, is finding guys who love football. Now, how do you make sure a guy loves football? I mean, that to me is the fishy one. But if you're looking for it, if that's what you're looking for, you're much better off trying to find it if you know what you're looking for to begin with.
Yeah. I love somebody that is dedicating themselves. That's the only way they're going to be great, is people like that, because there's a reason the saying first one in, last one to leave. There's a reason why that's been out there forever, and we've all heard it.
Yeah.
Do you know why? It's not because the whole team does that. There's a reason you say that, because that's an example of someone who does that.
Who's dedicated to the craft.
He's the first one in. Yeah. He's the last one to leave. They don't say that about 53 guys.
No.
They're talking about one person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not everybody is wired that way, and the special ones are wired that way. We'll see if that trends. I love the fact that, you know, he said he's not a big partier. You know, you're not going to be trouble. No off the field stuff. Clearly, that was not the case with Isaiah Wilson. Isaiah Wilson clearly liked the nightlife. Isaiah Wilson, I'd say it's very clear to say today, didn't love football.
Not enough if he did.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when I was doing the oh crap.
Didn't seem like it.
The oh crap factor came in pretty quickly whenever we heard right out of the gates he was more interested in being a rapper than a football player.
Yeah.
Right then it was like, uh-oh. Ruh-roh. Hey, bro, you were a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And you're already talking about your rapping career?
I mean.
By the way, how's that going for him?
I don't think it's going well. I don't think he's climbing the charts the way he would envision, that he had envisioned with that. But we'll see. You know, there's still time. You can make a comeback, I'm sure.
There is no way
he's coming on. He's got a song out called Flatline. I just feel the
wow.
Flatline. Okay.
Wow.
Man.
Too soon. Not really.
Yeah, Flatline. No, listen, again, and whatever they get coming up here this afternoon, I know a lot of people are saying that wishy trade. And, you know, thank you. One more thing. The trade down thing. Everybody understands that you got to have somebody to trade with to trade down, right? They can't just trade down. The Titans can't just show up and say, hey, I know we're picking 7th, but we'd rather pick 22nd. So we want to give away this pick to grab this other pick because we think we can do. No, you need a team who's wanting to do that. And if you can't find a team willing to give you a 3rd-round pick, then, you know, you're going to have a tough time. And so, you know, apparently they never got the offer. It never worked out the way they needed it to for them and their vision. So, but you need, I think a lot of people have a real misconception of how the way trades work. Like they can just trade down. No, they can't. They can't just trade down. I'm sure the Titans could have traded, you know, down into the fifth round for their first round pick. I'm sure some team will be willing to do. But if you really want something back, you know, you got to find a team that's really willing to give you something for what you want. And I don't think they were able to find that.
Can you imagine Chris Domino's show today down in our buddy down in Atlanta?
Boy.
Look, there's no one. I don't care what anybody says. There's no way you can justify what the Falcons did last night. There's no way.
I don't understand.
You cannot justify it.
I don't understand.
So you can try. You're not. I will not agree with you. You cannot justify taking Michael Penix at 8. One, nobody had Penix at 8.
No.
Two, you signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million deal.
Yeah.
100 of it guaranteed.
Yeah.
And you go draft a 24-year-old quarterback?
Yeah.
He's 24.
Yeah.
He's not 20.
Yeah. Is not, you know.
To what? Sit for his time in 2027?
Yeah. It's not like it's the Richardson kid in Indianapolis who's 20. It's not that.
So you go spend $180 million on Kirk Cousins, $100 million of it guaranteed, and you don't get him a weapon or you don't do something to make the team better. It's exactly what the Packers did that flipped out Aaron Rodgers and why they never recovered from the Jordan Love pick. So you basically said, we're going to waste this pick for a guy to stand there and do nothing to help your team for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Years.
At least 2 years, at least.
So you just spent the 8th pick in the draft to have a guy in practice that you can use and hold a clipboard for the next 2 years.
The top 10
pick in the draft.
Not the third round, not the fourth round. The Detroit Lions drafted Hendon Hooker last year in the third round. So, you know, they can have him on reserve. So whenever this thing with Jared Goff gets done, they've got their guy in the wing. And Hendon Hooker was an older quarterback as well. But they drafted him in the third round. So it's forgivable. The Falcons, what they did, Darren, it's almost like two different GMs did it. Like when the Titans drafted Malik Willis and Will Levis in back-to-back years. That's somewhat forgivable because you had two different GMs doing it. So you can understand there was two different lines of thinking when they decided to do this. The Falcons didn't have two different lines of thinking.
No.
They did this weeks apart.
Yeah.
Weeks apart they decided to do this.
Yeah, it's bad.
I mean, there's no justification for that. None.
Game 3, Predators and Knuckleheads tonight at Bridgestone Arena. That series is even at 1. We'll head out to Vancouver, Sportsnet 650. We'll talk about this Vancouver team and this matchup that'll be here for Games 3 and 4 tonight and Sunday. We'll do that next as you listen to the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
You enjoy the thrill of gambling, but what happens when it becomes a problem? Whether you want to cut back or quit gambling altogether, the Gambling Clinic has been helping people change their gambling for over 2 decades. We're here to help, not to judge. The Gambling Clinic is a Tennessee-based clinic offering in-person and telehealth support to help people win back their life. Visit us at thegamblingclinic.com. This project is funded by the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big, fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. That's 800-649-0142.
Ad paid for by Anthem Tax Services. Attention, if you or your business is behind in filing your tax returns, or if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, please listen carefully. The IRS does not joke around and will not stop their collection efforts. If you're tired of the IRS letters, levies, liens, or wage garnishments and would like to get a fresh start, we can help.
Due to the financial hardships in the country, the IRS is making it easier than ever to settle tax problems for those who owe more than $10,000. We can help settle your delinquent tax problems, end all collections, and may even reduce your back taxes significantly. Even if you can't afford to pay your back taxes, you can still get the help you need. We've helped thousands of taxpayers just like you, but you must call 800-240-4917 today to stop your tax problem from getting worse. The information is free and the help is real. Call 800-240-4917. That's 800-240-4917. Again, 800-240-4917.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Tony Pollard is younger. He's 3.5 years younger than Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You're getting him in his prime, and as Adam just stated, you're not asking him to be a bell cow. You've got Spears and Pollard.
Yep.
That's where the league is today.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
The McFarland Show, broadcasting live in Rutherford County on 107.9 FM.
Game three tonight, Bridgestone Arena. Series even at one. Preds, Canucks. Darren and Justin live in the Strikers Fair Family Fun Center studio on this absolutely gorgeous Friday afternoon. About 84 degrees here in Middle Tennessee.
Nice.
Let's head to Vancouver, beautiful city of its own.
I don't know if it's 84, though.
Probably not. Sportsnet 650. Sitar Shah is on the line with us. Sid, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, I can confirm it is not a balmy 84 in Vancouver. No.
Look, you got the scenery is amazing. The restaurants are amazing. But, yeah, it's a little bit chillier there than it is here.
Ooh, cloudy and 56 right now.
It hasn't been a bad winter, to be honest. It's been pretty mild. It doesn't get too cold up here. But, yeah, I think we're all kind of waiting for some sunshine. And I've seen the guys in Nashville. They're, what, 84, and it was pretty warm yesterday. We're all kind of jealous up here.
So let's get your takeaway from the first two games that were at Rogers Arena. Series is even at one. Just give it a couple insights of what did you think so far. Is this how you thought the series would be? Is it taking a turn? Like, where are you right now with where it sits?
Well, I think it's been a pretty tight series. I mean, you can look at the first game and easily say perhaps Nashville should have came away with the victory considering they had the lead in the third period. And last game, the Canucks obviously had the ice tilted in their favor. So I think it's fair to come out of it through the first two games, it being 1-1. And I would say one of the things I'm really impressed by with the Nashville Predators, and you know, Andrew Brunette nailed it, was their commitment to the paint and blocking all the shots they did in game two, but their overall commitment to their team game. And a lot of talk about Nashville being this really offensive juggernaut type of team down the stretch. And sure, they have some players that can do that, but I was really impressed by how committed they were to their team game. And for all the talk about the Canucks, you know, being dominant in game two, I thought in the second period when the game was truly on the line, Nashville was the better team. And, you know, for all the talk of Canucks, you know, being on top of them in the third, I don't think we've talked enough about how well Nashville played in the second to take the crowd out of it, take control of that game. And once you're up 3-0, you know, it's a lot easier to sit back a little bit. So my big takeaway is the commitment Nashville's played with. That's one of my questions about them in the series was, we know they can score, but how committed are they going to be defensively, and can they tweak a little bit? And they've shown they can. So I think the Canucks are in for a pretty tough challenge here for the rest of the series.
How big of a blow is Thatcher Demko? Obviously, you know that he was dealing with something, I guess, late in the season. He didn't play for a good while, and then I think came in and played the final couple of games of the regular season. Obviously, re-aggravated something. I know how this works. We're not going to find anything out. We're going to get upper body, lower body. We know it's lower body, but other than that, you know, you're not going to get crap out of teams and coaches in the Stanley Cup playoffs. How concerned are you that, you know, that he's done for this series? He may be done for the playoffs.
I think it's pretty certain he is done for the series. Hmm. As far as the playoffs go, I have not heard the he's done for the season, even ACL injury stuff that has been reported. That's not me saying they're wrong or the reporting is erroneous in any way. I just haven't heard the same thing. What I've heard is that he can still be back potentially sometime in the second round, but that means, of course, the Canucks have to first get past Nashville, which means we can cross that bridge when we get there, and there's still a long way to go. So I think there's still a chance he could come back in the postseason if the Canucks are fortunate enough to keep going. But I do think it's a massive blow. Like even with the injury, I think it was a pretty good chance that Demko would have been a finalist for the Vezina Trophy, which puts into perspective how valuable he was to Vancouver this season. And when he was out of the lineup, the team did not win nearly as higher rate as it did earlier this season. So it's clear he's a huge part of their success. And as far as the series goes, I mean, you would look at it and look at the goalie matchup and say it's pretty even with Saros versus Demko, but given the year Demko had, perhaps a slight edge to Demko. But now it's very clear the goaltending edge in this series is firmly in the favor of the Predators. So I think it's a pretty big swing in the series. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, Nashville is necessarily going to win this series, but, you know, going into it, you may have felt it was even or perhaps a slight edge to Vancouver, and now the edge is firmly in Nashville's favor.
Yeah, I saw those reports too, and look, I somebody who's dealt with knee injuries and ACLs, I've been through all that crap, and I'm not a professional athlete, so I'm not trying to compare. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison. I just know, in covering the sport for a long time, that, you know, David Legault has, there have been Predators players, there have been other players in the league that have played through the playoffs, which is crazy as it sounds, but they've played through an ACL tear. So I do wonder, like, if it was that, and I know the goalie position's different than, you know, a forward position or a defenseman, but I know guys in the past have played through the playoffs with an ACL tear, so I was a little bit surprised to see all the people out there suggesting that he may be done, because I've seen players play through it. That's just my two cents.
No, I hear you. I mean, I've also blown my ACL playing a pickup hoop, so I feel the pain, not at a professional level, so I know what it all entails. But you're right, not every ACL tear is the same, and, you know, maybe the most notable guy that played with a torn ACL in hockey was Steve Yzerman all those years back.
Yep.
He dragged the Red Wings to a Stanley Cup championship with a torn ACL, and that kind of tells you, you know, how incredible Steve Yzerman was. But you're right, we've heard, you know, players play through it. The thing I wonder, though, is because of the goaltending position and how much, especially with how that position has evolved, how likely would it be for him to try to play through it? I think you're right. I think, you know, at this time of year, players will play through just about anything to get there, but I'm just not sure if the injury is to that significance anyways. But like you said, to start all of this off, we're not going to get any straight answers from anybody, so you have to take everything with a bit of grain of salt, and we won't know the truth until the playoffs are over.
How big is the drop-off, in your opinion, from Demko to Casey DeSmith? Is it pretty significant?
I think it's pretty significant, yeah. And, you know, God bless Casey DeSmith and how well he's played for the team, and he has been incredible for them. But it's a pretty big drop-off, and DeSmith fared a lot better when he was just a backup and played a game here and there and kind of came in and the team was going through a pretty good run for the most part. As soon as they had to rely on him to play three or four games in a row, play six out of seven games and go through a tough stretch against some big opponents and teams kind of getting a bigger book on what you're good at and what your weaknesses are, he was a bit more exposed. He's obviously not as big and imposing as Thatcher Demko is, and his rebound control does leave a little to be desired, but he's a good backup goaltender, but he's not really a grade-A netminder, right? He's not going to be a starting goaltender, I don't think, for any team of any significance. He's more of a journeyman backup that can really give you a lot of good minutes. So I do think the drop-off is significant. Now, he has shown he can help you win games. He's probably not going to steal you many games. So if the Canucks are going to rely on, you know, goaltending to steal them a game, that just may not be in the cards.
Tyler Myers being out for game two, how big was that and how important is it to have him the rest of the series? I get, what was it? Did they, is it flu? Is that what it was that I think I heard? I was shocked when he wasn't in there for game two. And obviously he's an important piece there on the back end. But how significant is it when he's not in the lineup? How badly do they need him back in there?
Yeah, it was the flu, and he was evidently pretty ill so much that he couldn't play through it. Usually, you know, these guys do try to fight through playing through colds and flu, so he must have been feeling pretty ill not to be able to make that last game. And it's really incredible, guys, because if you would have asked me this question a year ago, Canucks fans would have been happy if Tyler Myers was not in the lineup, considering how much he struggled and, you know, the variance in his game to game. But this year, he's been so steady, and the physical presence he brings is obviously present, but he always takes it to another level in the postseason. You guys saw it in that first game and how he clears the net, how hard he is to play against. And, you know, he has a lot of size. And not only that, he shows a willingness to stand his ground. And those things are very valuable. And not having, you know, 6'8" physical defender in a playoff game, you know, when you're used to having it, is a pretty big loss in the last game. And now I'm not quite sure it would have made a huge difference, but if you think about where he was missed, and that Philip Forsberg goal, Noah Juulsen, who was in the game for Tyler Myers, you know, can't get the puck out. He kind of gets lost along the wall a little bit, doesn't protect the middle of the ice, and Forsberg goes forward and does his thing and roofs it on Casey DeSmith. Now, if Myers is there in that instance, does he get the puck out, or with his size, does he recover? Does he get into Forsberg's space potentially? And does that play happen to the same degree? Obviously, we don't know. He wasn't in the game, but that's maybe an area where he was missed very evidently. And not having him in the lineup, I think, for game three is going to be a pretty big boost for the team.
One of my all-time favorites here in Nashville, getting to know him over the years, was Shea Weber. He was honestly one of my all-time favorite players, really in any sport. I don't even hold that back. I also got to know Matthias Ekholm really, really well. And there's some other big defensemen that came through Nashville playing for the Predators. I marvel at Quinn Hughes because he's just the opposite of those guys. He's more on the smaller side, but his puck possession and how deceptive he is, it's really impressive to watch. Look, I don't pretend to sit here in Nashville and act like through an 82-game season I'm watching a ton of Vancouver hockey. But I've been watching a lot of him here of late, and I've watched him in the past, but I don't get to see him night in and night out. But it's really jumped out at me, like, just how incredibly skilled he is. What is it like to have a guy like Quinn Hughes, and especially the season, I would say him and Roman Josi, right, are going to be right mm-hmm. there battling this season for that award?
Well, he's been the Canucks' true engine. Like, he's been their offensive engine. He's been really the backbone of their team in so many different ways. He logs a lot of minutes, but as you see, the way he pushes the puck forward, the way he imposes his will on a game, it's something you don't see very often in hockey. Roman Josi does it, Makar does it, of course, Quinn Hughes, and that's why this year those three will probably be the finalists, and, you know, they may be in a class of their own when it comes to the top tier of NHL defensemen. But I think in terms of you noticing him a bit more, I also think that this year he has taken a step. As good as he has been in the past, not only is the offensive production a lot better, his defensive game has improved, but I think he's also gotten a little bit more powerful in the stride. Like, Cale Makar, we know, is just so explosive. Josi can be so explosive, and they come at you with so much power and pace, and it's really hard to handle those guys. And as good as Quinn Hughes had been with his skating, he was more of an elegant skater, and I don't mean that as any sort of backhanded compliment, but that's just, he plays with a lot of elegance and grace, and he'll cut through guys, and he's just so effortless with how he gets around the ice. But one thing he perhaps may have lacked slightly was that straight-ahead power, you know, top-speed gear, and he's really added that this year. So I do agree he's popping a lot more this year with his skating, and I think that's also allowed him to really, you know, grab a stranglehold of games when he's out there a lot more this year. And he has really jumped up a notch this season, and perhaps also being given the captaincy, I think, has gone a long way. But it changes everything for this organization. You know, the Canucks have been around since 1970. They've never had a defenseman anywhere near Quinn Hughes' caliber. And they always, you know, we've always dreamed of this market having a top-tier, number-one franchise defenseman, and always bemoaned the fact they couldn't find one. Well, it took them, about 50-odd some years when they finally found one.
Sad, I've read a little bit of your bio, and first of all, deep respect to you and the way you've grinded to get to where you are, sir. I mean, it's if you haven't read it, I mean, it travels the world quite literally and ends up in Vancouver. And, you know, with your fandom for the Canucks, which is also fascinating. We're not here for that, but I just wanted to let you know I've read it, and wow, just wow. You need to make a movie about yourself, sir. It's something special there. I wanted to ask you about your fandom a little bit, in that the Canucks have been around since 1970. You mentioned the fact they haven't had a defenseman like this. They also haven't had a Stanley Cup in that time. Here mm-hmm. in Nashville, we are in year 25 of the Predators, and we've got one Stanley Cup final to our name in 25 years of hockey. Darren was mentioning the fact that the Canucks fans seemed to be a little bit on edge towards some of the Nashville fans there in Vancouver in games one and two, because perhaps the tension could be a touch high. I mean, you can feel the energy through the television watching them sing "O Canada" there for the national anthem. These folks are ready to get this going, and the fact that you get all the way here through the grind of an 82-game season, and now you don't have your starting goaltender. What? After what was the point of all this? I mean, there's got to be a part of you that's going, then what do we do all this for if we get all the way here and this is how it, you know, this is how it goes?
Well, in many ways, it's kind of just another chapter in Canucks history. There's always been another shoe to drop one way or another. Even in 2011, you know, let's not forget, the Canucks were up 2-0 against the Boston Bruins in the Cup Final, and everyone here thought, this is the year. They're finally going to do it. They're going to pull it off. And obviously, you know, the rest is history, and they lost that series in 7 games. And I remember talking to a friend of mine that night, and he turned to me and said, there's no way the Canucks are going to lose, you know, what is it, four of these last 5 games. Well, they did lose 4 of their last 5 games. And they lost the Cup Final. So in many ways, it's just another continuation of that. But I do think this year has also been such a positive, you know, rebirth for the brand and for the fan base after, you know, 10 years of ineptitude in many ways. And the previous management that was here for almost 8 years, led by Jim Benning, it was shooting themselves in the foot one way or another, year after year, not making the playoffs. And so it's finally been getting back on the big stage, getting back to relevance. So I think that does quell some of, you know, the despair you'd be feeling otherwise. With the Thatcher Demko going down. And I think, you know, there's some hope that if the Canucks can get past Nashville, you know, people might be trying to tell themselves maybe Demko does come back and give them a bit of a push. But it all comes down to being able to beat Nashville. And, you know, if they don't pull it off, well, it'll go down in Canucks history and Canucks lore as something else that crept up and came out of nowhere to stop the Canucks in their tracks in trying to get success.
Curveball question. Do you believe that Canadians are hockey snobs? Because we get that impression sometimes. Do you believe that Canadians are, let me just stop there, hockey snobs?
So I think some can be, right? And I don't think it's an unfair suggestion to some. And I do find hockey at times to be unwelcoming in that regard, right? Like, you know, people are very, as soon as somebody makes a mistake, they're new to the game and they say something, people jump on them real quick and they like to make fun of them and ridicule them for not knowing the game. And as soon as you have an opinion that differs from the norm, people say, well, have you ever played hockey? Do you even understand the game? So I do think there's a lot of that, and I do think that's very off-putting, and that's something I wish that, you know, the diehard hockey fans up in Canada, a lot of them, would do a lot less of. And I understand that, you know, at times they can be protective of their game, and they love their game. They want the game to grow. They want it to be a bigger deal. And sometimes there is kind of like the inferiority concept. I can't even speak today, but
no,
you have a concept
in terms
of maybe feeling like, you know, you're inferior. And when you have that, sometimes you get your back up really easily. And I think that happens sometimes. But I do think it does happen often. And I think it's unfair because I see it sometimes. And I think, you know, we should be more welcoming to new fans. And it's fine for people to come to the game and have a different perspective. And just because something's been done a certain way, I don't think makes it the right way, so to speak. So I do think at times, I'd agree that Canadian fans can be a bit too snobbish in how they go about expressing their opinions on the game.
I just want you to know that we've got a big Predators fan who lives in Vancouver that listens to our show every day online. And I reached out, DM'd him last night on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and just said, hey, we'd like to have somebody on from, you know, your market. You know, who would you suggest? And just so you know, he suggested you. So I just wanted you to know that.
That's very kind. See, I like being big with Preds fans. I like Preds fans. That's good.
Yeah. So, hey, we really appreciate you doing this. I'm very curious to see how all this plays out. I think it feels like it's going to go the distance. It really does. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I think this thing may be destined for 7.
Yeah, I could see it going that way, especially now with Demko not being in the series either right now, and the way Nashville's been able to play. And these 2 games, like, it wouldn't shock me that they split these 2 games.
Yeah.
We're sitting here talking about a 2-2 series and heading into game 5.
Yeah, no doubt. Sat, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for the kind words, and anytime.
All right, Sitar Shah, Sportsnet 650 out in Vancouver. Good stuff from him. 6:30 puck drop tonight for the Predators and Canucks. Game 3, someone's going to take a 2-1 series lead after tonight. Wide open the rest of the hour if you want to get involved. 615-844-5600 here on this Friday. You're listening to The McFarland Show on WNSR.
And now, Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless efforts should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, serving Middle Tennessee. For all your roofing and exterior needs, give the pros a call today at 615-635-1790. 615-635-1790. That's Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC. They're professionals who care.
Hello, I'm Greg Figueroa.
And I'm David Figueroa. Over 30 years ago, my brother Greg and I set out on a mission to offer the world a better hot sauce.
That's right, David. We made Melinda's thicker, hotter, and better than ordinary hot sauces.
And now we have 32 exciting and delicious sauces that hot sauce fans are obsessed with, like our ghost pepper sauce, our Thai sweet chili, and our best-selling black truffle hot sauce.
Melinda's also has 5 spicy ketchups made with real sugar and no added junk like high fructose corn syrup. People ask David and I, what makes Melinda so good? That's easy. We think like chefs do. Instead of burning someone with hot peppers and vinegar, we use fresh plant-based ingredients and the finest chili peppers perfectly blended to set your mouth on flavor.
Go to Melinda's.com to find our line of craft condiments at Walmart and other fine retailers. And right now, get 20% off our award-winning sauces with code SPORTS at Melinda's.com. That's M-E-L-I-N-D-A-S.com. Melinda's.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, call now. 800-617-0239. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-617-0239. That's 800-617-0239. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
And now, Ramirez's Handyman in Framing is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Please go to USO.org and locate Military Care Package to see how you could help make a difference today. This message is brought to you by Ramirez's Handyman in Framing. For all your residential or commercial framing, roofing, siding, and handyman needs, no job's too big or too small. So give the pros a call at 972-684-0750. 972-684-0750. That's Ramirez's Handyman in Framing. They're professionals who care.
It's JB and the General.
I am in no means a chiseled goddess. God, I don't have a six pack. I'm not looking like The Rock out here. But goodness gracious, George Niang legitimately has a beer belly out on the floor right now.
Yeah, but so does Jokic. He's the best player in the world.
Well, George Niang is clanking them off the backboard.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
Welcome back to the Strike and Spare Studios. You're listening to The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Tony on our text line reminded us that also there's college baseball this weekend. It's true, man. This is a loaded sports weekend.
A lot going on.
Loaded. Good stuff there in Vancouver. Do you feel the same way, or do you think
about
this could go less than seven?
I think it can go less than seven.
Are you leaning towards the Predators?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If the backup goaltender is going to play,
I know
that is a wide open door.
He just said it. He said, I asked him specifically.
Yeah.
Is it, what's the drop off? Is it pretty significant? And he's like, yes.
It's obvious.
Yeah.
It's obvious in one game. Now, can he step up? Can he get better? But at a certain point, you are what you are. I mean, he's 32. I've looked in the eye. He's 32. He's not 24. He's not 25.
He's
32.
Just a career backup.
He's doing the best he can.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're going to ask him to guide you all the way. I mean, he can have a moment. You can have a great game.
You can have a game, right. But a series?
A series. I mean, again.
Or two?
We don't ask back, and it rarely happens. It's like asking a backup quarterback. It'd be like asking Joshua Dobbs to take the Titans to the Super Bowl. Not just win a game for you, but like guide them all the way through. No, man. Typically, it doesn't go that way. But you get a couple of fairy tales here and there.
Philadelphia. Eagles.
No. You get some Kurt Warner
did work.
Situations out there.
Well, Kurt Warner is different because he played the whole. Remember, Trent Green went down in preseason.
Trent Green and Tony Banks, and he had two go downs.
Yeah, that's right.
Before we get to Kurt
Warner. Warner was day one starter. In Philadelphia, Carson Wentz got hurt, what, like week 12?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
And then you do have a magical.
Yeah.
I mean, that no one could have ever seen that coming.
But see, that's Disney movie stuff.
Yeah.
By and large, it doesn't happen that way
at
all.
It's few and far between.
It doesn't happen that way. So if the goaltender, the starting goaltender for the Canucks is not going to play the rest of this series, it is to me, almost, Darren, and, you know, people can say what they want and disagree, and, you know, again, I'm on this, you know, hockey journey here, but for me, just looking in, outside looking in like this, now if they're going to play the backup goalie the whole time, if they don't win the series, it's a major disappointment now. Before, it was just like, well, the Canucks are really good, and, you know, they may be able to overmatch them. With the backup goalie is the most important position on the team. So it seems to me, it is the most important position on the team. It can carry a team. It can sink a team. And you're telling me you got the backup in, and the backup isn't that good. And now you can't beat him? Oh, no. You need to beat them. The Preds got to take advantage of this opportunity. And when I say take advantage, I don't mean they just need to win another game. No. They need to win this thing in five or six and move on to the next round. Take advantage of this. This does not happen often. Take advantage of this.
Sarah Siv, who covers the Carolina Hurricanes, put out last night on Twitter that she was hearing that Demko is done for the postseason. He's done for the playoffs.
Well, he's done for
And Sat seemed to say that could be in play, too.
Yeah, he didn't exactly push
back. But here's the deal. I mean, their playoffs could be done in round one. I mean, if the Predators win, it doesn't, you know.
No.
You're going on the assumption that they're going to be playing for a while, right?
Yeah.
People are saying, well, he could be done for the whole playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, or, you know, he could be done for round one like Vancouver.
This is the elimination round.
Yes.
There's no loser's bracket to go to.
First team to win four games going to the next round.
You know, this is, if the Predators are able to win tonight, and boy, if they win tonight and Sunday night, boy,
it's over. It's over.
The screws are going to be real tight on Vancouver to go and do this.
Yeah, it's not happening.
It's a golden opportunity for the Preds to get out of the first round.
I think Vancouver knows they have to get a split. They go down 3-1.
Yeah.
They're toast.
Yeah. And they could win a game. They're obviously a very talented team.
Of course they
can
win.
They can come down here and win a game. Of course they can. But if you're the Preds, the sense of urgency has got to be now. You know, to go out there and get this done here. Like, the door is not open like this very often. You've got to go get this done. You've got to go knock down this giant.
Another crazy example that I was thinking of here not too long ago when Ottawa made their run. Remember when they went to the Eastern Conference Final and they lost to Pittsburgh in seven? And that's when the Penguins played. Everybody thought the Predators were going to play Ottawa that year.
I do remember that.
I think that was the year of Andrew Hammond. They called him the Hamburglar.
Yeah,
he was
a guy
literally came out of, same deal, came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just no name. And then just bursts onto the scene and just starts winning hockey games left and right.
Happens.
And they, you know, and they carried it. I can think of Devin Dubnyk.
Okay.
Is another one. When he was here. I don't hide from it. He was here for two. He played two games.
Two.
And I literally went on the air one day and said, yeah, Devin Dubnyk, he's done. He needs to retire. Like, he's done.
Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LL.
All right.
And then he gets traded to, well, actually, from here, he went to, where did he go? For Arizona, I think? And then he ended up in Minnesota. And just had a second chapter of his career. Has an amazing career.
You don't know.
In Minnesota with the Wild for years.
You don't know. You don't know. Happens all the time.
And I was like, he's done.
But I don't know if this goaltender tonight for Vancouver is that guy.
No.
I don't know if they're going to be making a Disney movie about him.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't. Again, for now, if the Predators, if he doesn't come back, if the starting goaltender doesn't come back, if the Preds don't win this thing, to me, now it's a disappointment. Now I'm slightly disappointed in the team. You got to, you got to do this. Because remember, Darren, and we've talked about it for a very long time with the heads of this organization. Bridgestone Arena is a world-class organization, a world-class arena that is home to the Stanley Cup champion Nashville Predators. It is written on the wall in that facility somewhere that this is what they want. You got to walk through this door that's open in front of you now if that's who you really want to be. And I'm not blaming the front office, obviously, or, Sean Henry and company if they can't win this. I'm just saying that if this is your mission statement to make this team a Stanley Cup champion, and I believe wholeheartedly that they want to be, you got to get this done when they don't have their starting goalie. You got to find a way. You really do.
Yeah, especially when it's Casey DeSmith as the backup. Some people like the Predators. I mean, I think Kevin Lankinen, again, is there a drop-off? Sure. But I think you'd feel a whole lot better with Kevin Lankinen than Casey DeSmith. That's my point.
Probably. But there's also, is it safe to say we've seen less of Kevin Lankinen than we have Casey DeSmith? Like, Casey DeSmith is 32. At this point, we kind of know.
Look, Kevin Lankinen was he's been a full-fledged starter in the league. I mean, he was a starter in Chicago.
Enough. All right, fair
before
enough.
Before he came here.
All right, fair enough.
On a crappy Blackhawks team.
Well, okay. Fair enough.
Just saying.
I understand.
All right, we'll take our final break, come back, put a bow on today's show and this week as you listen to the McFarland Show, WNSR.
Buyandtow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit buyandtow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, buyandtow.com. That's buyandtow.com.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab of Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a 7th straight division title is officially on.
Stretching the pitch.
Swung on, lifted left field. That might get out of here. That's in the bullpen. Home run, Sean Murphy.
Tonight, it's a big interleague matchup at Truist Park in Atlanta as Austin Riley and the Braves take on the Cleveland Guardians.
Pre-game coverage begins at 6:05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
You're listening to The McFarland Show live on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Rounds 2 and 3 tonight in Detroit. But it looked good. Nothing wrong with it. They did a great job for the first night. Well, let's be honest. It wasn't Nashville.
No.
I have come back on people on X that are trying to say, in fact, I think one of them was Ian Rappaport. I was like, bro, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Dare I say it, rivals Nashville. No, you shouldn't say that.
Don't say
that. Because that's dumb. Nashville had 600,000 people. I think Detroit had 150.
Whatever it was.
200,000.
It was a nice crowd.
It was nice. It was in Nashville.
Yeah.
Stop.
It's good.
There's no reason to have that comparison.
Next year, they'll have Lambeau Field, and it'll be 200,000 cheeseheads. It'll be good.
Can you do 200,000? Like, I'm very curious how that's going to work.
There'll be a pilgrimage there. Yeah, they'll do it. It'll be fine.
Be cleaning out snow.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear what Nick Saban, who I thought did a fantastic job last night on ABC. Fantastic job. You're looking for the coverage to watch. It's okay. You're looking for coverage to watch. It's the ABC coverage. I told Damon before, he's like, I didn't really like the ESPN. I was like, because you're watching the wrong network. ESPN coverage was not. ABC was where it was at last night, in my opinion. Anyway, Nick Saban coached J.C. Latham. Here's what he had to say about the Titans pick.
You know, J.C. played great ball for us, man. He was a leader on our team. You talk about being physical and dominate the line of scrimmage. I mean, this guy is as powerful as anybody as we've ever had. When he gets his hands on you, you've had it. And a fine young man. I mean, really, really hard worker. Everybody on the team loves the guy. I mean, I'm so happy for him and his family. And when it's your guys, yeah, and you know it's their dream,
yeah,
it just makes you feel so great when they get the opportunity. He was always a big, old, powerful guy,
yeah,
that could really get moving in the run game. I mean, he can bend, he can block, go to high. He's got really good feet.
But the pass pro
and the emotional maturity of being consistent in performance and staying focused, not getting penalties, false starts, giving bird rabbits away, you know, in terms of not being consistent in your stance. But you can see right there, man, this guy's powerful. I mean, he just wears people out. He's still a really good pass pro guy. He can mirror. He can stay in front. He gets his hands on you. You see, I mean, I'm telling you, if you want to be a trendsetter, this guy will set the trend for you of being a physical football team on the line of scrimmage.
There you go.
Again, we understand if for people that you
that's
know,
his guy.
That's his guy. Get it. But still, it doesn't mean that what he's saying is not true.
True.
Just because it's his guy. Just like having Eric Wolford on, coach, Kentucky offensive line coach, who coached Alabama offensive line the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And was very glowing about the Titans pick. Doesn't mean it's not true, but man, it's pretty consistent what everybody's saying. One, he's got freaking meat hooks for hands. A size 11,
yeah,
is basically palming your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a basketball.
11-inch hands. And, you know, when they said that, I looked up the way that the NFL measures hands, and I measured my own hand this morning on television. I've got a 9, maybe 9.5.
I was going to say, I'm probably a 9.
Yeah, that's what I've got. I've got a 9, 9.5 on me, and he's got 11. Now, we know a guy, Javon Curse, who had a 12, yes, I felt like.
It was. No, it felt that way. It may have been, I don't know. It was.
I think I've seen him do the ruler thing where he held the entire ruler between his thumb and his pinky, which is ridiculous. But you know, it was one of the things they said last night during the presser with Rand Carthen and Coach Callahan, is that when you meet him, make sure you shake hands with him, because it's an unbelievable type of experience. And I've shaken hands with Javon Curse, and I've talked about it here on the show. It is the most incredible thing I've ever, not ever witnessed. I've witnessed a lot, but it's up there. Having, you know, Javon Curse basically swallow my entire hand down to the wrist is crazy. But he's got that kind of hooks here, is what we're talking about.
Stu Grimson's got massive. You ever?
Actually, I have.
You ever,
yes,
shook his,
yes,
hand?
Yes, I have. Oof. I did a live shot with Stu. Yes, big man.
Would not want to fight him in the day.
Yeah.
Because he had a lot of hockey fights.
He got hard hands, too.
Hard hands.
That's the difference.
And massive hands.
Yeah, he got calluses and stuff.
Made
me
feel weird just, yeah.
His fingers are bent in different ways. Like, he'd been through some things.
It's going to be a great sports weekend. Lap it all up. And we look forward to talking to you on Monday and recapping everything starting at 2 o'clock. Have a great weekend. We'll see you then.
the craziest first round of the NFL draft that I've ever seen. Six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. A defensive player doesn't go until 15. Just absolute mayhem. You think you know where a franchise is going. They have Kirk Cousins for 4 years. Now Kirk Cousins is on the clock because Michael Penix Jr.